Kirby's funeral.
Uh-huh. But he's not... Is he about your age?
No. No. That's not around the funeral home. Young fella. I hunted with his daddy and his granddaddy. They're both living there.
Uh-huh.
Both of them.
Uh-huh. I think that'll be it. How long have you been fox hunting?
I've been a fox hunting about 75 years.
Since you were...
I'm 85 now, and I come as hunting when I was a boy. Uh-huh. And I guess I've done as much or more hunting than anybody ever been in this country. Some would hunt a while, quit, so I've just give it up all the time. I've judged in a lot of field trials, too.
Hmm.
I've judged in national field trials. First national field trial I ever went to was at Bowling Green. And then the next one I went to was Crab Orchard, Kentucky. And then I judged in a national hunt at Paducah, Kentucky, and one at Jackson, Tennessee, Kentucky. Oh, Tennessee. Then I've been to Dublin. I was one at Dublin, Georgia. And then I've been in one in Mississippi. There's a bunch I judged with, Jackson, Tennessee.
It's 1939.
Yeah. The Master Hound's right there, Mike Colley. He's from Louisville. He lived in Louisville. This is me here.
Uh-huh.
A little bit younger then than I am now. Not hard as fleshy.
Well, this is fox hunting with horses?
Yeah.
And
well, back then, we rode horses all the time. Jumping horses.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man, I rode them to jump a fence. Come to fence, weren't over 5 foot high, and he'd pay no attention to him. He'd go over. There's training for that.
Well, this is a different kind of fox hunting from what most people around here do, isn't it?
Yeah, but now we don't...
This is real fox hunting.
Now, we've got a clubhouse over here, between here and Tennessee line, that we have the Southern Kentucky hunt here, there every year. We're having a big fish supper over tonight. Love for you to go with me if you can.
Oh, I really have got to get back to Bowling Green tonight. That would be. Did you have meetings?
Oh yeah, we be a lot of fox hunters over there tonight.
Oh gee.
Oh, we had a supper there last year. There was over 300 each.
I wish I could come.
And we have our field trial there. This hunt here, I'm the only one to live in, was in this hunt when it was organized.
Uh-huh.
That trophy up there on the right, I got that last year for being the oldest hunter there with dogs.
Could you explain I know nothing at all about fox hunting. Could you explain it from the beginning and tell me what you do and what the horses and the dogs and...
Well, I used to, way back yonder, all of us rode horses. But till now, we have to go ride some art piece, maybe, to where we want to hunt, and we go and trucks. Just go there and turn the dogs out, you know, and we carry chairs with us and sit around and listen at the races. All the hunting's different from what it used to be. We've got so many blacktop roads we have to get away from.
Uh-huh.
On this Bowling Green road here a while back one night, I got two dogs killed on one night. Across. Mm-hmm. The deer's are giving us trouble here too.
How the deer, these
hounds will run these deer.
Uh-huh. Instead of the fox.
Yeah, now if you strike the fox first, they won't. Mm-hmm. But though, maybe foxes ain't as plentiful as they used to be. Maybe turn them loose maybe an hour before they'll hit one. Mm-hmm. And if they run in on a deer, these deer just jump up in front of them. Yeah. Huh? Most any hound will run them. I don't know why it is. Mm-hmm. To the well. I've had dogs get after them right around here. Find them dogs right this side of Bowling Green.
Hmm.
Down on Drake's Creek, where you cross the gorge.
How far is that?
Oh, it's 20 miles or more.
And they chase the fox that far?
Oh, yeah, look, chase that deer.
Chase the deer that.
Yeah. Yeah. These deer, when you get after them, they're going to hit a stream of water and take down them. That's the only way the deer can get away from them, just get in the water. I went to them, had them run them all night and go to them, and this deer would get out in the water and have to get in there and get the dogs off of them. But they'll kill them.
Okay, now you take the dogs into the country and you just let them go and
now we have field trial over here. We generally have about 200 dogs in. Mm-hmm. And we not too far from our clubhouse, we turn these dogs loose. Just roll them up and turn them loose all at once because they just go wherever way. Mm-hmm. And we run them 6 hours. 2 days. Mm-hmm. And when the 6 hours is off, the hunt's called off. Mm-hmm. And we've got these dogs numbered, big numbers painted on them. That's the way the judges them, but uh-huh. Numbers. And at our hunt there, I showed you where that picture was, and that hunt, we turned loose 406 one time.
Well, how do you judge something like that? You can't follow the dogs around.
You've got four things you judge them on. Mm-hmm. Hunting comes first. That's a dog hunting to find the fox. And then when he strikes him, trailing comes next. They're just gonna have to trail one a little while before they jump it. And when they're jumping, they call that speed and driving. You can score them, and then endurance, you can score them on that, but the hunting and trailing, speed and driving is the main things you score them on.
Speed, what is that? Speed and?
Speed and driving.
And what does that mean exactly?
That's running.
Those are the qualities of the dog,
yeah.
While they're chasing the
maybe a whole pack of dogs will pass you, and you just have to get what you can. You've got to get them numbers and put them down, and then you've got to put the time down. Uh-huh. There's been a lot more crooked doings done in there. You see, it means something for a dog to win the national hunt.
Hmm.
And they've got that down. You've got to put down the time. You put this dog's number down. Mm-hmm. And on hunting, you can score them. You could give them. Or you could give them. I think the score point, maybe 40 or 50 points you could give them on that. And then you put all these together. Come in, we all go in a room, mm-hmm. and everybody have his scores down on his books. Mm-hmm. And they call the master hounds will call these dogs numbers. Start at one and go on up. Mm-hmm. And maybe part of the judges will have him, two or three, and the rest maybe never seen him.
Mm-hmm.
you know. Uh-huh. Us judges just scatters out. And
I see. You go into the woods.
Oh yeah.
And you go into the woods and I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And maybe one of you will see one dog, and another will see that's another, right. And
that's right. Uh-huh. And when you scorn when they're running, if you're on a good horse, you can man that understands hunting. You can hear him well with gunner, and he can bring your tail which way to go, and maybe he'll cut right through here and get him at a crossing where they cross. And four dogs is just about all you can get.
Hello, that man. Now,
this is my wife, Mr. Johnson. Johnson's here.
Landis.
I'm the ancient one here.
What did you say, name was?
John Landis.
Landers.
Landis, L-A-N-D-E-S.
Well, I thought it was Johnson.
I've been going to the garden. I thought I'd come and see you before.
Oh, well, I'm glad you did.
Nice meeting
it's
you.
Nice to meet you.
Now, did Gayla tell you that this is her great-great-uncle?
Yeah.
I thought maybe she would. Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice meeting you. I have to get out and walk around a little. I work in the garden so much when it's so I can't work, I just get out and look about.
We raise a big garden.
I didn't know if I could give you any information or not.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't own the fox hunting, I don't get it.
Uh-huh. Well, we
sometimes she makes, I know they're making 18 loaves a day.
18 loaves?
Yeah.
Shit. What do you do with it all?
Oh, people, she's the only one in this country.
So, what does a fox hunter do when he finds a dog and chasing the fox? Does he follow the dog and the fox?
National hunt, you run the young dogs 3 first days together. That's dogs under 2 year old, called them derby dogs.
If you'd rather get a chair, just pull that chair up right over there if you want to get closer to it.
No, this is fine. I'm fine here.
You run the derby dogs 3 days.
Uh-huh.
Straight. And then they're out, and then you put in the all-age dogs 3 days. That's any age dog from 2 on up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you run them 3 days. And the dog, in the 3 days, you figure these scores up.
Mm-hmm.
And put it up on the score sheet then so everybody can see them. And the dog that has the highest average is the winning dog. See, that national dog, I don't know what it is now. Used to, the top dog, they'd get $1,000. But though it ain't the money there is in it, a dog that wins in a field trial, his owner ain't he caring nothing about the money. It's the name he gets for the dog, you know. Mm-hmm. When Bob Rhodes here at Bowling Green, I judged that year in the Tennessee State hunt and the national hunt, and he had a dog, and that dog's picture was there in Citizen National Bank at Bowling Green, I guess still there. He was president of that bank. That dog won both of them hunts that year. It's hard, everyone does that.
Have you ever had a dog win? Have you ever had a dog
win? Oh, yeah.
Ah.
Them trophies. I've got them dogs. That left hand in there at the bottom, I had a dog to win that at Litchfield, Kentucky, in all age. And that trophy up there and this one right here, I had a dog 2 years ago that won both of them in the same hunt. And I've got some more trophies scattered around different places. Them ones I've just sort of took care of. Some fellas used to hunt with me, and I'd give them some of these trophies we'd win, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me now what the fox hunter does during the hunt.
Do what?
What does the fox hunter do during the hunt if he's on horseback?
Well, he generally saying, now these riders, always a bunch of riders there. Mm-hmm. I've seen from 50 to 100 of them at a big hunt. Mm-hmm. The hunters don't care if I'm riding if they won't get in front of the judges. They ain't supposed to get in front of the judges. They follow the judges to see get to see a lot of the races, you know. Mm-hmm. And they catch these foxes every once in a while, too. I had a girl out of Nashville used to ride with me. Well, she wasn't about 12 or 13 years old. And every morning we'd start out, her mother would say, now, if you catch a fox, be sure you get its tail for the girl I've got her now. Well, we caught one day, and me and her was right at them. She rode a good horse and a good rider. Well, I caught this fox, and all we was 100 yards of him when they caught it. Of course, they killed it. Well, there was a big, deep gully between me and her and the dogs, and we had to go up that gully, right smart piece, before horses could jump it, you know. Went down there, and I got down, cut the fox's tail off, and give it to her, all she's sticking to death with. Well, when we had to come back across, I weren't paying no attention to her much. I got up where my horse could jump it, and she was behind me, a right smart piece, and it's wider there. And that horse of hern, when I jumped, he wheeled and jumped, and I just didn't think he could make it for such a wide jump, so he did. And I don't think that child took her eyes off of that fox tail, had in hand looking at it. She'd rode jumping horses. Her mother, daddy told me when I started out, said, no, she can ride as good as anybody, so you need to pay no attention to her about the riding part, and so she's on the horse, so carry any horse, any other horse will go. And he was good, he did.
Well, now do the dogs kill the fox when they?
Oh yeah, carry him all to pieces. Yep.
But now they don't run them to kill them.
No.
They just chase them and listen to the barking. That's really what the sport's for.
Fox hunting, I believe the cleanest sport there is. They don't hunt to kill. Now, of course, dogs catch one once in a while, so they don't aim for them to.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they get very unhappy if they're
foxes. We just go to hear the race.
Uh-huh. And what happens, what do the, when you hunt on horseback, you ride around and watch the...
Do you just watch?
It's a spectator.
When they catch a fox or run it in, you just get out on a high place, just sit there a while. Mm-hmm. Directly these dogs will hit another. Mm-hmm. Generally have these hunts, you know, where there's a lot of foxes.
Uh-huh.
And I used to ride a horse. He'd listen for these dogs just like a man. never done nothing but fox hunter dogs. He's 7 year old. And when he heard a dog, if you let him alone, I don't care what kind of place he's in, he'd get to him, too.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the train for it, uh-huh.
And the idea would be to ride to where the foxes have the... or to where the dogs have the fox cornered?
Yeah, no, see, the first strike these trails, I generally have to trail them a while before they jump them.
Mm-hmm.
Jump them up. And... Mm-hmm. But he'd get right there and follow them dogs.
He'd just follow them. And how long would you follow them? Or how long would the dogs chase him?
Well, big pack of dogs, about the longest I ever know them to run in a national hunt, was I know them here at the Crab Orchard, Kentucky once. I was in that hunt. We got after one fox there, run about 4 hours. So one hard never runs that long. Mm-hmm. It's either so many dogs, and dogs will keep. Maybe a pack will be after him, and the other dogs scattered way off somewhere, and they'll hear him and come to him, and go to coming in on him, and him up, maybe catch him. Fellas never done no fox hunting or been into any of it. Just paying to go to a national hunt sometime. Just see how many people. In a national hunt, there'll be dogs and people there from all over the United States. Some from Canada comes to these national hunts. It's just a sight to see people's interested in that sport.
Now, when you're not on horseback, where you bring your chairs and you sit around and listen.
Yeah, just sit around and listen. Me and that fella went last night. We've been three times this week. We generally just go twice. But there was rain last night. We was going to go to that fish supper tonight. Couldn't go tonight. We decided we'd go. Well, we first turned these dogs loose. They went where there'd been a strike in this fog. About a half a mile from where we turned them loose. And they didn't strike it there. We waited there. I guess they was gone for near an hour. Direction they come back and they crossed the road and went on the other side, and the fox happened to be the same fox on the other side of the road, and they struck it there. But he come back in there and done his running right around.
How do you know it was the same one?
Tell the way he run.
How do you know how he's running?
Yeah, dog. A fox hunter, one that fox hunted much, he can tell you in 10 minutes where you're after a gray fox or a red.
How? How do you know that?
Run different.
What do you mean exactly?
A red fox will take bigger rounds and run straight, and a gray fox runs sort of like a rabbit trying to... Fool him, you know. And you take a real red fox dog, he gives a different mouth after a red fox than he does a gray.
What do you mean a different mouth? A
different tone to
The bark.
Yeah, his bark.
Really?
Yeah, this fella hunts with me, got an old Jip over here, she's 8 year old, won't run a gray fox. Tall, never would. And we carried her last night. Said he'd leave to take her head and took her in the right smart fly. But just quick as the dogs come back across, we believe it's the same fox. She put right in, because we know Dennis, the red fox. There was some grayons back over the other side there. We afraid to get after them grayons.
Well, do you prefer to have them chase?
Do what?
Would you rather they chase red ones than grayons?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Have a heap better race. And a grayon won't run about 30, 40 minutes. He went whole. So now, we've been over there 3 nights this week. We leave at midnight. These dogs still are running this red. And he'd pass him right by us. He was about 1,000 acres of corn over there. And he's running these corn fields. Well, he passed right by us 3 or 4 times last night.
You mean where you could see him?
Huh?
Could you see him?
No, though we could hear him.
Yeah.
Well, he crossed the road there once. Oh, he crossed the road 20 foot where we were sitting in the truck.
Well, how do you get the dogs back?
They generally come back where you turn them loose. Have to go back the next morning and ask them. Oh. We've got them trained that way now. where we hunt down there, it's 10 or 12 miles. And this fella hunts with me. He's got some dogs, comes home from down there. But they've got to cross these highways, and you know, it's dangerous. We'd rather for them to come back where we turn them loose and go back the next morning there. Yeah. I was down there this morning, that cloud come up. I was down there after them. I got them all but two. To that rain, they were just coming in. They'd run all the night.
Do you do this any time of year? You do this all year round?
Yeah, fox hunts all the year round. No, fox hunting, I think, now I used to bird hunt a lot. I was a big fisher too, fished a lot. So fox hunting is the best sport I've ever got into, and I think the cleanest.
Well, why do you feel that way? It seems like there's so little that you really do. And
you take a person, I never heard nothing. I'd rather hear as a fox search.
Uh-huh.
Never heard nothing. I used to be a musician. Played in string bands. I always liked string music. So I've never heard no kind of singing, preaching, and nothing sounds as good to me as a fox race. That's just naturally born and bred and hunters. Yep. My daddy was a hunter before me. I had five brothers besides myself. One of them fox hunted, and others was coon hunters. Now, a lot of people like coon hunting, and a lot of people like beagle hunting, run rabbits, you know. Uh-huh. So,
coon hunting is similar. You send the dogs out and they do the work.
Yeah, but so now, a dog after a rabbit don't sound good to me at all.
They make different noises when they
chase them. Yeah. There's still several fox hunters, not as many though as there used to be. There used to be a lawyer here at Scottsville, Judge Harper. Me and him hunted together as long as he lived. He was a big hunter. He kept a lot of dogs.
Are some areas or some areas better to hunt than others?
Oh, yeah.
What makes a good place now, to fox hunt?
I used to, till these roads got blacktopped, the Bowling Green Road and Franklin Road over here, right in between them. I used to hunt a lot right over in there.
Mm-hmm.
But though I might turn my dogs out here now and maybe get two or three kills first night.
Hmm.
I just don't go around there. We generally go off back sort of in the back way place off of the main highways.
Yeah.
So they won't cross the roads.
Excuse me, I need to...
Yeah.
So a good place to hunt would be one where there are no roads.
That's right.
And what about, what kind of... foliage, or should it be like wooded or cornfields?
Woods, foxes runs in woods and cornfields.
Mm-hmm.
And down in there where we do most of our hunting now, there's a whole lot of ground down there and fescue pastures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These red foxes will run through them pastures, but there go the woods, cornfields, pastures. Red foxes go most anywhere he wants to. Now, graying generally stay in a thicket, woods, so they can't get up on him much. You raised around Bowling Green?
No, in Virginia. Over in Danville, Virginia.
Yeah. Well, I worked for state 22 years and a half. Last 2 years and a half, I worked out of Bowling Green. I worked for the Black Tonkin crew.
Hmm.
Used to have a lot of good friends in Bowling Green. Most of them done passed out. The old ones.
What instrument did you play?
Huh?
What instrument did you play?
I played a 5-string banjo.
Really? You string banjo. You play played old timey yeah. music.
We played
like skillet liquors.
Old time music. I belong to one band here. Well, back when I was young, we had a band, 6 of us in it. But since I've been up here, me and some fellas up here town got to play, and we played over the radio some.
Uh-huh.
Play like. Would you rather have the chair?
Oh, this is fine. Oh.
It's all right, you sit there, but I just don't. Okay. I get so uncomfortable if I don't have a lean.
Okay.
Lean back.
All right. So
you don't see many fox hunters but what likes string music.
How come?
Well, that sort of goes like a fox race to most of us. Yeah.
What do you mean? You mean that the people who like fox hunting do or don't like string band music?
Yeah. The ones like fox hunting like string music.
Oh, the ones who like it?
Yeah.
They like both?
Yeah.
Because it's similar?
Yeah.
Is that because of the... I know there's a song called Fox Chase, but that's a harmonica tune, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it in the music that sounds like a fox chase?
Well, the old time music, what they call old time past music, sort of reminds me of a fox race. It's faster, you know, than slow music is. Now, the slow music, I don't care nothing about that. So the fast music, it give you a sort of a ring, sort of like this fox race does.
What are your favorite tunes? Well, which tunes do you like?
Well, the old time tunes. I like what they call Sally Gooden about as well as I do any of them. Arkansas Traveler. My daddy was a fiddler, and I had a brother who was a fiddler. Uh-huh. We had a pretty good band there at home ourselves. And Arkansas Traveler, and let me see, there's...
I read.
A lot of old Joe Clark, Liza Jane, Soldier's Joy, set pieces. Uh-huh. They're all fast pieces.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
Leather Breeches. Mm-hmm. That is a pretty good fast tune.
You play clawhammer style?
Huh?
You play clawhammer style or frailing? What do you? How do you rap the banjo? What do you call your style of play?
Well, now back when I learned to play a banjo, the Noctum.
Noctum?
Yeah, that way. Now, most of them pick them now.
Uh-huh.
That way, if you watch them. Uh-huh. But the old-time fast music, the knocking goes the best. But.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Do you ever bring your thumb down to play
melody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I used to be pretty good on a 5-string, but I'd play a fiddle a little. Uh-huh. But I'd play a banjo better.
You still got the banjo?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear you play. I really would like to hear you play.
I've tried it. I had a hold of that banjo, and I don't know when. My fingers just got so stiff. Can't do it. I've got a banjo to fiddle. I'll show them to you.
Great.
I've got, of course, this is my daddy's fiddle.
I'm sorry I don't have some red bait. Oh. I was be glad to get you a loaf. But I didn't bake today. I ain't do, and it slipped my mind completely till way up in the day. So I do.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Did he inlay it himself?
No. That's old fiddle.
Oh, I didn't know you had that kind of strength, honey.
Yeah. Never had. Well, I don't know.
They flared it off nicely, didn't they?
I don't
know
where to tune. Nice. Strange, though.
Did you play the violin?
I don't know how to play. Sounded like you could get a pretty good sound out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 years ago, I guess it is. That's not on easy.
Yeah. But that's okay.
About the stonemason.
Mm. Oh. A couple of years ago, you said. When was this? Was this a guy from Western Kentucky?
Yeah, but I forgot the name. You might know it. And he could pick the banjo some. And I don't remember how he could play the violin, but he picked the banjo some.
Uh huh.
He knocked.
Uh huh. Oh, great.
Maybe he could tune it
to suit his style. I'll let Mr. Lambert tune it up. I'd like to hear him play a little bit.
A head's giving away on there. I already had it fixed when I quit playing. I just quit moving it.
What kind of banjo is that?
Huh?
What kind of banjo is that? Does it have a brand name? Is that a Vega?
No, I don't know. I don't know what name of this. This is an old banjo.
Uh huh.
Back then, they didn't have no names much. Don't stand.
Make your notch a little deeper in your breech.
I got to hear Scotch.
Why didn't you play him a tune, honey, for growing his recorder?
Huh?
Why didn't you play him a tune to
go? Oh, I can't get in tune.
Wait.
Can you play a fiddle tune?
I used to a little.
Dances around here? Did you play for a lot of dances?
Used to.
Huh? The square dances?
Yeah.
Play Red Rooster.
Oh, I can't play nothing. My fingers are still. it. This gate do it.
Well, sorry, you should take it out and play more often, get your fingers limber.
Yes, bro. I'm a girl. So,
I can tell you're a good player.
She used to be a good musician. She could play a fiddle, a mighty good guitar picker. Oh, there's people used to be around Scottsville here. Me and her and them played together for a long time, and after they're left out, me and her just quit. That's something you soon lose out on.
You and who? You're and Mrs. Lambert?
The girl.
Oh, the Elvis.
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's a good guitar picker. And there's a fellow named Liam and his wife. He is a fiddler and she is a guitar picker. We played together right some hard.
Why aren't there any old-time musicians playing anymore?
Huh?
Why aren't there any other... Why don't they play this kind of music anymore?
I don't know. Now, used to, they had good old-time music here at Nashville over the radio. Because they don't have the good dude. Now, they've got some good fiddlers there now, but I don't believe they're as good as they used to be. These fiddlers now have all your guitar sort of kept the day of a fiddle and this certain type of music. There, do you ever listen to Edmund Nashville, any? That old opera?
Sometimes, yeah.
No, that is my favorite bunch there. They played sort of kind of music I used to play. Bill Monroe's bunch.
Yeah.
Called the Bluegrass.
Bluegrass Boys, yeah. I saw them play at Western last year.
Yeah.
Oh, they were good.
That Bill Monroe is a fox hunter, too.
Oh, really? How do you know that?
Oh, I know it. His brother used to live over here. I was with his brother a whole lot. He's dead now.
It's Charlie Monroe.
Charlie Monroe. Uh-huh. He's a musician. He played with Bill Rushmore for a while.
Yeah, Charlie Monroe moved to North Carolina. I think Charlie Monroe moved to North Carolina when he got old and moved to a little town just a short distance from my hometown in Virginia.
Yeah.
A little place called Ruffin, North Carolina. I think that's where he was when he died.
Yeah. Well, now, for a right smart while, I'd seen that all of these county court days, he is a fox hunter. He got trading hounds. And he was down here at Beaver Dam, the other side of Morgantown, then he lived down there. Yeah, I know him well. Charlie.
Did you ever see them play around here?
Yeah. Bill and his bunch come up here and played up here town one night.
Oh.
And we talked about I talked to one of Charlie's son-in-laws last Monday at Russellville. And we talked about seeing if we could get them to come up here tonight to do. And the boy said, and I said, he's generally tied up. Said you'd have to write in to him or call him maybe a month beforehand.
Bill Monroe.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now there, the kind of music he plays, he'd suit the fox hunters better than any bunch plays, doesn't it?
You think Bill Monroe's music sounds like a fox hunter?
Oh yeah, more like it.
Uh-huh. That's because the instruments, first you hear one instrument, then you hear another, and
it's sort of
call back and forth.
Yeah. And Bill's always got a good fiddler in his bunch, too. And I said, he's got a high note, you know, of his singing. Highest of anybody that I've ever listened to. Mm-hmm. And pretty good singer, too. He sings one piece to play out, my favorite piece with him. He called it Uncle Pen. Uh-huh. You may have heard him play.
Uh-huh.
Bill wrote this song. That is his granddaddy's name. And he wrote this song about his granddaddy. And he called it Uncle Pen. Uh-huh. It's got good music to it, the piece.
I was wondering, back on fox hunting again, what kinds of people around here fox hunt? Are they mainly farmers?
Mostly. Now there's a fellow named Williams, lives here in town, hunts with us a whole lot. Carlene Williams. He was in the Army. It was the first hunting he ever done. He done it with me. Mm-hmm. And he got in the Army, stayed in there 30 some odd year.
Yeah.
And he's retired out now, and he still hunts with us. Uh-huh. Now he lives up at the edge of town, but so the most of the hunters lives out in the country on the farm.
And both old men and young men?
Oh yeah.
Old and young?
Oh yeah.
And how about women? You ever have a woman go out with you?
Yes. Some women go. Now you can go to a national hunt. You see pretty as many women there as you do me. Riders, too.
Mm-hmm.
All of them on good horses, too.
Uh-huh. Do they, did you used to ride horses more here than you do now?
Oh, yeah, around here, used to, way back yonder.
You used to ride horses. Why did you stop riding the horses?
On account of the highways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, we used to, a bunch of us hunted together over under where I was raised. And we'd go 5 or 6 miles, these dogs would follow us on our horses. Mm-hmm. We'd come from over in there, down in here on the Bowling Green Road, across the Bowling Green Road in there, but there were no cars much then. And, you get on a good horse into a fox hunt and out where you can ride, and that's my favorite way of hunting. I'd quit it and used to. When I lived on the farm, I kept a good riding horse all the time too. Fun to ride.
Well, tell me what the horn is used for.
Huh?
Tell me what the horn is used for.
That's to blow your dogs there.
To make them come back. To call them in.
Well, when you go over morning, now to pick them up, well, if they ain't all there, you can blow your horn and maybe they'll be around pretty close and they'll come to that horn.
Mm-hmm.
And that looks a little funny, the fella don't understand it. A hound learns his horn just like a man blows it, knows it. I've been out a bunch of us fox hunting together, maybe 6 or 7 or 8 of us on horses, and maybe we'd divide up to go home, you know, hunt all night. Crossroads, some go one way and some another, but everybody that blow his horn or his dogs that follow him.
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, maybe they've been together for a right smart while, but them dogs know them horns, you know.
Did you have a certain way of blowing it every time, same way?
Yeah, but you didn't see hardly no two horns sound alike.
Uh-huh.
Different tone to them. No, it don't take a dog just a little while to learn a horn. His owner's horn.
Who decides when you're going to hunt? I mean, do you take a notion that it would be a good night to hunt and call your friends up and
me and the fellow, all there's sometimes 6-7 of us get together, but the regular feller I hunt with, I load my dogs here and take them over there and load in. I furnish the truck, get him to do the driving, you know. I can't drive like I used to.
Well, and what is a good night to hunt? Does the weather make a difference?
Yeah. Now, last night, some nights you can hear dogs a third further than you can others.
Really?
And last night was a dead night. You just couldn't hear them at a certain... Listen, the air was just exactly with you. You couldn't hear them no peace hardly.
Uh-huh.
And I told fellas with me last night, well, he said, I don't think I was ever out any deader night than tonight is. Uh-huh. I said, it's fixing to rain.
Uh-huh.
Get a thing for a big rain while the weather gets up. Uh-huh. Oh, a good, clear, still night is the best time to hunt.
Uh-huh.
Air's right.
Uh-huh.
Hear them further.
Uh-huh. When it's humid, you don't hear them so far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Now, last night we had to get the air was sort of against us where we was. And we'd drive around, when they'd go around one place, we'd drive around and get in favor of the air, what little air there was in our favor, so we could hear them better. No, it's just, I never did feel like I was in my class, listening to us with a bunch of fox on it. Now, I can go to these field trials, and I used to know pretty near all the hunters there in Tennessee and Kentucky, both. I went to Dublin, Georgia to one national hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And down there, I know a lot of hunters there. There's some there before. There's a Indian big hunter, lives in Oklahoma. I've been several hunts with him. He's a bench show judge. You know, they're going to have a bench show judge. Have a bench show at every hunt.
Bench show?
Yeah, show these dogs, you know.
Uh-huh.
And best looking dog, you know, gets the prize. And he's counted one of the best bench show judges there is.
Uh-huh.
Dave Wire is his name. I've been with him several hunts. Me and him stay together. Dublin, Georgia, a week in a hunt. He's a full-blooded Indian. He's chief of a tribe out there. But he's smart. He's interesting to talk to.
And what was his name again?
Dave Wire.
W?
Oklahoma.
W-E-I-R?
Yeah.
Huh?
And I'll tell you, they run coyotes out there. In some places they run coyotes and place foxes, you know.
Huh.
And I'd always wanted to go to one of them hunts. I'd never been to one.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me if I'd come out there, I could stay just as long as I wanted to. It wouldn't cost me a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd really have some coyote races. And I told him I was coming. I hadn't set a time or two to go, so I never did go. I just put it off and didn't go. Wished I had a went, though. Or he is a good fella to be with. He is a chief of a tribe out there. And he told me Dublin, Georgia, said to put them back on a bunch of territory thought they'd starve to death. And he told me how much on their reservation there that their oil was making them then. Oh, he said, now we've got the wealthiest part of both of them.
Uh-huh.
And that's right. Have that on.
Had got that on.
Uh-huh. Well, let's see. I was wondering, let's see. Have you ever had a dog that was much more outstanding than any other dog?
Oh, yeah.
But tell me about that.
Well, now, hounds are sort of like people, you know, there's a difference in people.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you'll get a hound. Hardly ever get one plumb perfect. I've owned a few. You get one, just got more sense, knows more how to run a fox, and then the mouth has a whole lot to do with it, to a dog with a good mouth, and stay on that track and run it, and keep the fox going. Uh-huh. Now, I've judged in a field trials, maybe there'd be 40 or 50 dogs after one fox. And there'd be two or three of them dogs that do the most, what you might say, the work, and the rest just follow. Mm-hmm. And these, that's where you come in on the judging. Mm-hmm. You'd want to pick them dogs and give them what they ought to have for the done more than mm-hmm. the rest did. I know I was following a bunch once, Springfield, Tennessee. That country, there was some big straw stacks raised by them. Mm-hmm. Turned these dogs loose, got sun up. There was a big frost on the ground. And they hit a cold trail of a fox. I think I followed them further than I ever did any pack of dogs before they ever jumped this fox. This fox had just left out, you know. The straw stack could be an acre over. Well, there's about two or three dogs in that bunch would go up on there where the fox went, and the rest just go around waiting for them to come over and pick it up. Them was the ones was doing the work. And I followed two there in that own race, and when they got it up, they done their part of the running too. So them dogs, them two, I give them more scores than I did all the rest of them put together for they deserved it, you know. Mm-hmm. Where there's the ones done the work and got the fox up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where the others didn't.
What's the best dog you've ever had?
Well, now, I've never owned nothing. Yeah, I have owned some July dogs, one or two. So this is a trig country here.
What country?
Trig.
Trig?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That was the name of the dog. Let me see if I got a book here I can show you.
What is a July dog?
The Trig dog's got a better mouth than the Walker dog's got. Huh. The Trig dog's started over here at Glasgow. Fellow named Trigg. He got him up three or four different strands of dogs. And started them. And there's some Walkers, two fellows named Walkers up here around Lexington, started the Walker strand of dogs. Mm-hmm. And that strand of dogs was named Walkers after them, just like this one was Triggs after him. I can't find what I'm looking for. That feller Creed. His picture's in here somewhere.
Do you train your own dogs?
Huh?
Do you train your dogs?
Yeah.
Your own? Do you train other people's too?
Yeah, I used to. I used to sell. I used to raise dogs, several dogs. Now right there is the man that had started the Triggs strain of dogs. That's where they got their name. Now Bob Rhodes and Joe Kirby used to live in Bowling Green. I hunted them both a lot. And there had the Triggs strain of dogs. Judge Harper up here had the Triggs strain of dogs. And around Glasgow over here, there's where they started. And used to learn no kind of dogs around there but Trigg dogs. And there was a fellow named Branham. They have been around Gallatin, Tennessee. He had Walker dogs. Him and Mr. Rhodes there at Bowling Green there was mighty good friends, hunted together a lot. And Mr. Rhodes had the Trigg dog, and Branham had the Walker dogs.
Well, what is the difference in those strains?
Well, the most of the Trigg dogs used to be just the color of them two right up there. Uh-huh. And the Walker dog was a spotted dog. Uh-huh. Now you can look over on the... going over at the first of it and start. See?
Start at that article?
Yeah, see them dogs, them Walker dogs.
Uh-huh. Which one, do they hunt differently?
No, there ain't too much difference in the hunting. The reason a lot of people likes the Trigg dogs, because they had so much better mouth, make a better race than the Walker dog. But the Walker dog had a fast chop mouth, and these Trigg dogs had long, balling mouth.
And that makes a difference in the way they sound?
Oh, yeah.
The long mouths, how does that sound?
That sounds heap better than the chop mouth does.
Oh, really? Yeah. What is the difference in the sound?
Well, it's just got a different tone to it.
Well, is the fox hunting these days very much different from the way it was when you were a kid?
Yeah, some difference, Of course, still hunt. The hunters out in the country still hunts like they did back then, but we ain't got as good of territories to hunt on, and then we ain't got as many red foxes. Last winter, see, these fox hides got high, and these trappers caught a lot of them. We had two over here, well, we wouldn't have took nothing for them. And they caught both of them trappers 1 week.
Huh. I mean, that two foxes that always got away from your dogs.
Yeah, well, they put up a good race.
Uh-huh.
And run so we could hear them.
Uh-huh.
And
the trappers got them.
Now, right there, that's the way them dogs is numbered when they're putting a field truck.
Looks like it's painted on?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Well, do the foxes usually get away? More often than not, they get away?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, they don't. Now, a red fox, just every once in a while, and a red fox is caught. Now, there's now sometimes they'll maybe run when they get so hot, they don't want to go in a hole. They say it'll kill them if they get too hot to go in a hole. And a red fox generally stays out and runs out. I know them run dogs out, run all night. Hmm. And of course, dogs would just give out, you know, the next morning.
Hmm. you were going to tell me about a dog that you had that was the best one you had.
I had he was a half Trig and a half Walker. Uh-huh. I made a cross. Uh-huh. And he was the best all-around dog I ever owned. Take his mouth and the way he run. He was always, every race you had him in, he was right at the right place, right on the front end of it all the time. He was a dog could run a fox, you know. Some of them can just got better noses than others got. Uh-huh. And can smell them better and run them better. Uh-huh. I put him in a hunt once at Crab Orchard, Kentucky, national hunt. And he was a black and tan dog, and that was a Walker country up in there. Mm-hmm. Most everybody had Walker dogs, and the judges was mostly Walker men. Well, this dog was a black and tan dog. Of course, all knowed he was a Creek dog. In the two first days, he had as many gin scores as our other dog had.
As many?
Scores.
Uh-huh.
And I told the fellas with me, I said, well, some of them Walker judges will scratch him tomorrow. They don't aim for a Creek dog to win this up here. And that day, the last day, these dogs have got down to about 40. They've been scratched. That's when one does something or comes in before he's supposed to. It's called scratching to put them out of the hunt, you know. They've got down to about 40. And we got after a fox back there early. And I think it run just pretty about 6 hours and run where you could see them a whole lot, bluegrass country back in there. So they scratched him that day. I know they would. And I talked to one of the judges. I could know his mouth and seen him enough. He was right on the front end of it every time I saw him. And scoreboard put up his scratch. Mm-hmm. One of the judges come to me and said, I hate to see, he knows it's my dog. Said, I hate to see that dog get scratched. I said, yeah, hate it too. Well, he said, I'll tell you what he is scratched on. Mm-hmm. He said, him and another judge or two was standing at the crossing, they cut through and know they're going to come around. They're standing there, and the dog said, mine said, the fox run right up, right in on them, and seen them, and wheeled around and went back. And the dogs come on there where he turned and run over it, and there was hunting for it there. And one of the dogs picked it up directly, found where he went back, and said, this dog of mine give his mouth a time or two, pulling to him, you know, and that's what they scratched him.
They scratched him when you say give his mouth,
yeah,
he barked.
Bad.
He barked and pulled the dog away from the trail.
No. No, he didn't put him away. He just opened a little of going to him, and there he passed right by them, and they're seeing him. And he wasn't supposed to do that.
Hmm.
And Now, the babbling, they call it, when you turn dogs loose, a big bunch, they'll start off when you didn't want to be giving them out, especially a whole bunch together for a little while before. And they call that babbling, and then you have some dogs, in the, and it wasn't a field trial, but there's some in there, just run around over the country, giving his mouth on dog tracks, or just giving it, not after nothing. Mm-hmm. And they generally, in all big hunts I was ever in, the first day, that was about all we tried to do, is to get that kind of dogs out of the hunt, you mm-hmm. know, the pullback to the hunt. Mm-hmm.
The most good dogs then keep their mouths shut when, except yeah, when they're right on the trail.
Oh yeah, they're less than right on the trail, supposed to.
How do you train them to do that?
Well, now it's just nature for them to be that way. Uh-huh. No, you. We had 9 dogs last night, and we turned them loose. Turn them loose right down the fence row. Mm-hmm. The dogs had gone an hour and we never heard a dog open his mouth at all. And finally they come back and then cross the road right behind us and hit the fox on that side over there. And the dog said a word till they hit that fox. Huh. And there was Rathmart a little while jumping him and getting him to run it. Yeah. And I've got one dog, and on trailing him and getting him up, he just would get done more than all the rest of them on working him out, you know. Mm-hmm. And some dogs can smell a colder trail than others, so give mouth mm-hmm. on a colder trail than others. But the trig dog, I always thought, had a better nose on him than the walker dogs had. Uh-huh.
Huh. Well, what do you think is the most enjoyable aspect of fox hunting?
Well, I've been many hunting by myself, have I not? Stay out all night. I've done that lots of times. And write down a good fox race and you'll be safe. Ain't nobody talking to you, bothering you, and really hear it. I really get more enjoyment out of that. Uh-huh. I go now once in a while myself, but though not often. Mm-hmm. So fox hunters, they all get together like we will up there tonight. All have a big time. All bragging on the dogs.
Do you have any are there any special stories that you tell about fox hunting?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Only sort of what I told you.
Tall tales?
Oh, yeah, of course, there's all. I've heard this told 2 or 3 times. Of course, every fox hunter is supposed to know his dog's mouth. I've been out 2 or 3 different times. Some feller would be bragging on his dog, claiming his dog is in front, and maybe while he's doing that, his dog would walk up and lay down. He him not knowing. I've had that happen twice. None of us wouldn't tell him for a right smart while dressed, we'd say, we done Judge Harper that way one night. Judge a bragging on a dog, he had claiming one of my brother's dogs, mouth for him. And he just bought this dog over in Barron County. Well, this dog Judge, he was out, had a walking stick hung on his arm, big chew tobacco in his mouth, spitting. And this dog would come around every time, little in front of the others. And there's my brother's dog, Ben. Two more of us, we know those dogs. Judge claiming it for his one he bought. My brother got trying to buy it from him. Oh, Judge said I wouldn't sell my dog to him. Said, I don't get, that's my old stock. I only get some of her breed. And the dog was standing right behind him all the time. My brother said, Judge, whose dog's out there behind? Judge turned around. Why, he said, that's that dog slung out of the walking stick and missed the dog and hit my brother right across the eyes. I'd like to tickle us all to death. So we'd let him brag there for the rest of our file, you know. Dog just walked up, just standing there looking at him behind. So you can get a bunch of hunters together. A lot of them claims one another's miles just for fun, having fun out of it.
You never say they're barking. You just, you always say they're giving mouth. Is that what you say?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've never been to a field trial, it pays you some time to go to one.
Yeah.
And I don't know where like the National's going to be this time. So if you really want to see a hunt in there, this fellow's there in Bowling Green, Ralph Hazler, lives there in Bowling Green. Uh-huh. He's a hunter. I used to hunt with his granddaddy. Uh-huh. Tell you the truth, this horn I've got here, I got from his granddaddy. Not as a boy.
Really?
He always goes to the National hunt.
H-A-Z-L-I-P?
Yeah.
How is that name spelled?
Hazler.
H-A...
Yes. He's in some kind of business there at Bowling Green. Oh, estate sales property, you know. Mm-hmm. What you call it. He's well known there in Bowling Green. Most anybody can tell you who he is. Mm-hmm. And where he lives. Mm-hmm. He generally goes to the National hunt, generally puts dogs in. Now this fall, on October, there'll be field trials, different places, counties, you know. And there'll be one in Morgantown, one in Litchfield, and one here in this county. And I guess there'll be one in Glasgow too.
Uh-huh. Let me get this. Father was in the Civil War?
Yes, sir. But there's his picture.
How about that?
Yep. Yep. He fought through the Civil War.
What did he tell you about it?
Oh, first he's told me a lot about it. Back when I was a kid, there was a lot of the old soldiers around. They'd come there to our house. Him and my daddy'd tell his Murfreesboro, Tennessee, his... He had his horse shot out from under him in that battle. Hmm. Over there, Lookout Mountains, he was in all them battles. Yeah. Hmm. He was on the southern side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which was the bloodiest battle that he fought in? Which was the bloodiest battle?
Well, I've heard him say the Shiloh battle was the hardest battle mm-hmm. through that war. I think there's more soldiers killed on both sides than another battle. I don't know, this battle at Murfreesboro, I've been there to that cemetery. That was a hard battle too. And my dad, when he got his horse shot out from under him there, fell and broke his hip. He was out a little while, but he was still in it when it wound up. That was a, I don't know where you've read much about it or not. So that was some war. What you might say, brother fighting brothers.
Mm-hmm. Was your family divided?
Yeah. Aaron didn't, but a lot of them did. Yeah. Yeah, I know the brothers, one of them be on one side, one the other. Talked through it that way. Well, some of them looked at it one way and some another.
Yeah. Well, what did your father, what were your father's feelings about the Yankees?
Well, sir, he didn't tell you what I've heard him say. Now, when the slaves first come to this country, they're stole and brought up north. If you've ever read the history of it, you've been on that. And north is so cold they couldn't stand it. That's how come I'm selling them to the south, you know. And that's about all I've ever heard him say against them in a way. That a lot of people give people down, and the slaves, some of them wasn't treated right either. Now my granddaddy on the mother's side had slaves when the war was over. And so I've heard my mother say at different times, them slaves eat just what they did. Mm-hmm. Said he was good to them, and a lot of them wouldn't feed them, nothing hardly, and work them to death. Mm-hmm. But about all I ever heard him say against the Yankees north, said there was really the cause of them being here. Mm-hmm. If it hadn't been for them. Mm-hmm. And he said they stole them. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they did. Well, I think I've read the history maybe where they did. But though my daddy, I was raised, there was a bunch of colored people lived right close to us, but he was just as good to them as anybody ever did mistreat one, and they all thought a lot of him too, I know. When I was small, typhoid fever hit us there, and I've heard him say many times, an old colored lady lived there right close, she just come there and said that'd been for her. He didn't see how they'd make it. No, he never did. He never did have nothing against colored people.
Did he fight hand to hand in those battles?
I've heard him tell. They'd meet up for a battle. One bunch be around to just start meeting one another. Wouldn't go to shooting till they got in shooting distance one another, and just go on through. I've heard him tell a lot of times that it always have a go to beating a drum when their battle is coming on. And I've heard him say a lot of times there'd be camps one place and the Yankee Southern, and no battles are going on, they'd get together and swap knives and get back hurting one thing or another.
Huh. And the next day, then they'd meet in a battle and kill each other.
Kill each other. Yeah.
But they let each other into their own camps.
Yeah. No. No.
They'd go out in the woods on patrol and they.
They'd have to meet on the outside.
Uh huh.
No, they wouldn't allow one another in other's camp unless they slipped in.
Uh huh.
Sometimes they'd change clothes though and slip in. When they had to get information, you know. That'd have done a whole lot. Well, I'll tell you that. Now, I've heard my mother say that her daddy had, I think she said, in 13 slaves, and had one when the war was over. All of them left but one, and he wouldn't leave, stayed there. And she said he was treated just as good as there was, always had been, or said reason he wouldn't leave. I heard her say different times, I forgot what they called him. I saw him when I was 8 years old. He's still living, and I seen him. And said her daddy gave $1,000 in gold for him when he bought him, in his boat. He was a big, stout fella. She said one of the best hands to work. Her daddy that's said she ever saw. Yeah.
That was a lot of money in those days.
Oh, it wasn't.
That would have bought a farm, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I've heard her tell that different times, that her daddy gave $1,000 in gold. Most of the money back then, more gold than anything, any other kind. Yeah, I forgot what his name was. So he stayed there with my granddad and grandmother as long as they lived. That's one reason I thought that all the soldiers died out, you would never hear nothing said much about that Civil War. See, I'd like to broke the South up there. They'd paid a lot for these slaves, you know, and lost them. But though now my daddy, he didn't believe in that slavery business at all.
Did he explain why he decided to go fight for the South instead of the North?
He was raised in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And when they joined up there, he just, of course, a lot of people around there, he knowed a lot of them around there that joined the Army, and I mean, he just joined with them and joined the South. They had to furnish their own horses.
Well, what did your mother, was he married at that time?
Huh?
Well, had he been married at that time?
No, before he was married. Yeah. I think he went into the Army when he was 18 years old. Him and my mother didn't marry until after. They was raised up sort of in the same neighborhood, but they didn't marry until after he got out of the Army.
That's really something to... that your father was in the Civil War. You don't have to go back very far to find people who can talk about that from first-hand experience.
Well, I tell you one more. There ain't too many living today that their daddy was in the Civil War.
That's right.
I'm the only one, and I think in Allen County, where that still living where the daddy was in the Civil War. Yeah, I think I'm the only one.
Boy.
So you see, I was the youngest in the 12.
He must have been old. Was he old when you were born?
Yeah, my daddy and mother. Yeah. I forgot just how old I was when I was born, so there's getting up in years pretty well.
Well, let's see, what should I put down here for your occupation?
Oil business got in this country. And I got into it and got broke up, like two-thirds of them did. Mm-hmm. And I went to work on the road then. Mm-hmm. And I worked for the county and state. Well, I worked the state 22 years and a half, and the county the rest of the time. Well, I worked at the city a little. I was on the police force there a little while. I didn't like that. Quit that. And I retired when I was 65 off the state. I could have worked on five more a year if I wanted to, and I tried to get me to, but having to do so much driving, I could tell this driving as it's getting on, tell me, listen, some days I drive 285 miles. Mm. I'd get up some years on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, well, were you working on construction?
Yeah, I was working the blacktopping crew out of Bowlesbury.
Oh.
And we had six counties. And on the last, I drove a truck. I was always a grader man, but on the last, I got to drive in a truck. And driving some here to Bowling Green and whatever county we'd go to and what I'd drive the truck that day, a hauling rock, 250 miles and that on the power and that every day. I know one day I sort of kept up with it and it was 285. Too much driving.
Do you know any other
fires? I know we went to Franklin once, Kentucky, and sung at the fire there. And then the fire up here, used to have fires up here at Scottsville, big fires, and we sung there one time. Mm-hmm. But now just about all them singers are dead and gone.
Yeah. There's a fair up there now, isn't there?
Huh?
There's a fair up there right now.
Yeah.
Did you go last the other night?
Do what?
Did you go to the fair?
Didn't go time this time. I was able to go Thursday night to the mule show.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that, but I didn't go.
Well, how was the work in the garden?
I've been hunting blackberries. Trying to see if there was any, but there's a good many red ones, but there's not many black ones.
Mm. What do you do with them? Do you make pie?
Pardon?
Make pie with blackberries?
Oh yeah, I want a blackberry pie so bad, but there's not enough over there for me to find them. Oh, it's grown up that it scares me to look at it almost.
Yeah.
Last year she canned 121 quarts of beans.
Hmm. Oh, good heavens. What do you do with it all? Can you eat? Do you
give them away.
Oh, you give them away.
I still got a good many of them. Would you want one?
Sure. You
no,
bet. Yeah.
Let me make you a sandwich or something. I feel like you had too much dinner.
I really don't have time.
Have you got any?
I've not got any of my bread, honey. Only what's been in the refrigerator. But of course, it's not hurt or anything, but it's not as good as when it's not in there.
Well, okay.
Now,
that sounds too good.
Would you? No, I ain't got a bit of jelly. I forgot that. I was going to say, would you want a jelly and butter sandwich?
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
They've not got a bit of jelly.
Well, she's had some here and give it away.
Yes, I give it away. Keep from eating it yourself.
Anything will be okay.
Thank you.
Anything will be fine. Yeah.
Well, I'll find something.
Okay.
I had to say it because it's her and a woman that's got a sheet 4 or 5 months older than I. Ain't a woman in this country does the work she does. She lifts the garden. Uh-huh. Wish you'd just go down there and see her garden. Ain't hard to come in yet. It'll be in after a while, and I want you to know she'll have to. She's got 6 rows of steak beans clear across that garden.
Gee. Boy. I guess you all are